Thousands of people in North Carolina are still in danger from that catastrophic flooding caused by Hurricane Florence. And several rivers are still cresting as that excess water makes its way through waterways. So what happens in the water's wake? The nonprofit Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification, or IICRC, has certified people on the ground in North Carolina to help with the cleanup. But there are things you should know before you start. Pete Duncanson is chair of the board for the IICRC. And Pete, what does that mean, you've certified people?
Well, we have technicians around the country, actually internationally, who have participated in our training courses and successfully passed the written exams associated with those courses. Beyond that, we have a group that we call our certified firms, which are a group of businesses that subscribe to a higher standard. Not only have they trained their employees and certified in the proper categories, but they have a customer complaint process, they have proper insurance and licensing, etc. And those are our elite businesses within the IICRC. Yeah.
And you want to, if you can, think about somebody who knows what they're doing, because we're talking about mold, which can destroy a house and also is unhealthy. We're talking about electrical issues. But as you well know, people want to get back and start doing stuff themselves. So what do you recommend? In our reading, it seems as if you're saying people should try to get back as fast as possible, walk if you have to, and there are traffic jams now in these areas in North and South Carolina. Walk if you can with a, you know, pulling some tools with you, because the water can be so destructive. Others, like the Belfour Property Restoration Company, are saying don't go back until officials tell you to go back. What do you think people should do?
Well, until the officials allow you back into an area, please do not re-enter that area. We have many areas with the river floods that are bringing in rising waters, sinkholes, and unfortunately pests. We do have to think about snakes and even the potential of alligators in that area. So it's safety is the primary concern.
Okay, you mentioned alligators, but what else is in this water? I mean, what's the toxins in there?
Well, it depends upon the area, and obviously because of the river floodings, we have the potential of sewage. There's a lot of pig farms in the area, so there's concern of that contamination, which is why we don't recommend people wade through standing water without protection.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the lagoons that have the waste from the pig farms. There's, you know, 6,000 hogs who were killed by the flooding, so there's carcasses. I mean, it's tough going. But as your company has said, the longer the water sits and your building stays wet, the worse the damage. So get back there when it's safe. And do what? If you can't get one of these certified companies because they're going to be backed up, what can people start to do?
From a water standpoint, water cleanup or mold cleanup are not a DIY project, unfortunately, because if you do it improperly, you can cause more damage. But you can control things by starting yourself. Using a detergent to clean things, and by that I mean you can go again to your big box store and buy a product called trisodium phosphate, TSP. A little bit of that in water acts as a basic detergent to clean surfaces, and then that is followed by a antimicrobial product. And in many cases, household bleach will work. Mixing bleach at a ratio of 1 to 5, one part bleach to 5 parts water, and then putting that on contaminated surfaces. Now be aware, if you're using products like this, you need to wear gloves. Bleach will do what it says. It bleaches, it discolors, it corrodes metals, etc. So you have to be very careful.
We should throw in face masks too. Oh, you wouldn't even want to go in a house without a face mask. Use a vacuum with a HEPA filter. That makes sense. I mean, again, if you're trying to at least get some of this done in the first 72 hours before you can get professionals in, how do you know when you can plug in a fan? How do you know when your electricity isn't going to short out because of water? Or how do you handle that?
Well, most homes don't short out after water intrusions. So if there's standing water, you're not going to turn the electricity on. You're going to pump the water out using generally gas-fired pumps and then start the dry down before you turn on the electricity.
What can happen if people, I mean, this gets expensive. There is insurance, but it never, you know, it's never enough. What can happen if people take shortcuts? For instance, painting over walls that were wet.
Molds are allergens, and you all of a sudden, you know, you start having colds or flu-like symptoms that you just can't get rid of, or sinus problems, asthmatic problems. Those are all indicators of an allergic reaction caused from microbial growth, such as mold or bacteria. That's generally the result of things being done in a shortcut method or not dried properly.
How long does it take mold to really take over a house? And, you know, how bad have you seen it after one of these floods?
How bad have I seen it? I've seen homes that are three stories, floor to ceiling, covered in mold because they were left untouched. Generally, we see within 48 to 72 hours is when mold growth really starts to amplify if it's not treated.
Pete Duncanson, chair of the board for the nonprofit Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification, or IICRC. They certify companies to clean up and have advice. We'll link you to some at hereandnow.org. Pete, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and what you do for the industry.